Welcome to the Elite Life Church podcast. We pray this message strengthens your faith and helps equip you for living the life God created you to live. Connect with us online at elitelife.church. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. I ask that our love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that we're able to test and prove what is best, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. I am who the word says that I am. I choose to do what the word says to do. And I have what the word says that I have. I choose to open my heart to receive everything the Lord has for me today. Today, I'm teaching on Romans chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 11. I've titled today's message, Hope During Difficult Times. So we're going to start by reading this passage, and then we want to talk about it a little bit. But before I jump in and read the passage, I want to set it up a little bit for you to, since we're jumping in kind of towards the, not quite middle of the book, but we're jumping into the book of Romans. Paul is writing to a church of believers that is both Jew and Gentile. He's writing to a church who he hasn't personally visited yet. And he's writing to them to bring them the good news of Jesus. Now, they're already believers, but notice that Paul is preaching the gospel to believers because the gospel is more than just getting saved. It's the good news of what we have in Christ. Yes, it brings us to salvation, but then it also sustains us all the way through our Christian walk. The good news that we have in Christ, the gospel. Paul, if you go back to chapter 1 and verses 16 and 17, he kind of lays out what his goal is for this book and kind of puts his statement in here over the whole book of Romans. But chapter 1, verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. For the gospel reveals the righteousness of God that comes by faith from start to finish, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. See, it's not a one-time faith. It's start to finish. Our whole life as believers is living by faith from start to finish. You know, another way that verse could be translated is, the righteous, or the one who is by faith righteous, will live. It takes faith to be righteous. The Lord has given us the ability by faith to be righteous with him. And in this book, the first several chapters of the book is laying out the universal problem of sin. It's laying out an understanding that every single person is trapped to sin. Every single person has fallen short of God's glorious standard. And once he lays out that both the Gentiles that don't have God need God, and they're not right in their own eyes, and there's nothing that they can do to be righteous in themselves, then he goes to the Jews who have the law. And he explains to the Jews that, yes, they have the law, but they're not able to keep the law properly. And all the law does is brings about the knowledge of sin. The law lets them know that they're sinners and that they cannot be righteous in their own works. And in keeping the law, no one is saved. So once it goes into that, in chapter 4, he transitions to talking about how Abraham was justified by faith. And he was made right with God by his faith. It had nothing to do with his works. He was made righteous by his faith, and then his works followed. He wasn't made righteous because of what he did. He was made righteous because of faith. And from there, we get into Romans chapter 5 then. So let's read here the first 11 verses of this chapter. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Verse 6, for at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God proves his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from wrath through him? For if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only that, but we rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So, going back to the very beginning there, Paul starts out by saying, therefore. Whenever you're reading the word and you see the word therefore, it's good to ask yourself what the therefore is there for, because it's always pointing backwards. What it's doing is it's transitioning. He's saying, because of these things I've been talking about, now. So therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he just went through talking about how Abraham received the promise and was justified by faith. So it's important to recognize what it's coming from. And I want to look here, if you look back just a little bit, go to Romans 3, 19 and 20. I want to talk about being justified. Romans 3, 19 and 20 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be justified in his sight by works of the law, for the law merely brings awareness of sin. He's telling the Jews that who had the law, that no one's justified because of the works of the law. You can't be made right with God because of how well you uphold the law. Looking down just a little bit to verse 21, it says, I'm going to read 21 to 24 now. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed as attested by the law and the prophets. And this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So how does it come? It comes for all who believe. What is that? That's faith. It says, and this righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. It's faith in Christ Jesus that brings us justification. What is justification? Justification is God's act of declaring a sinner righteous in his sight on the basis of Christ's atoning work. It's received through faith. It's a courtroom term. It means we're righteous in God's eyes. It doesn't mean that we're all of a sudden morally righteous and that we've got everything right. That's the process of sanctification that we go through. But it's a process of being made right with God. If you go down a little bit more in chapter 3 here, and why are we going back to chapter 3? Because there was a therefore in chapter 5. Verse 27 says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of works? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. He's saying we don't have anything to boast in because we didn't do it. It's by faith we receive. What is faith doing? It's holding out an empty hand to receive what God has provided. It's saying, I receive what God's done for me. So I don't boast in my works like I'm better than someone else because I'm made right with God. No, he's saying, where then is boasting? It's excluded. See, the Roman culture was a culture of honor and shame. It was a culture of boasting, of what we have to boast in. And Paul's saying, look, we don't have anything to boast in having faith, because it's holding out the empty hand that receives from God. It's receiving what God did. Jesus did the work. We're just receiving it. It's also an accounting term. What it shows is that our debts were put on Christ and his righteousness was put on us. It's what's called imputed righteousness, where Christ imputes his righteousness to us and our sins get placed on Christ. We see this real clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this is what it is to be justified. Being justified means that by faith, we're receiving God's righteousness through Christ and we're receiving it to us. And then what he does in chapter 4, I kind of mentioned this to start with, but again, in chapter 4, then he goes to show by example how Abraham, he was declared righteous by faith. It wasn't by his works, it was by his faith. So that's where we get to 5:1. Therefore, since we have been, past tense, since we have been justified through his faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do we receive by faith? Justification, peace with God. What he's showing is, he's showing another way to look at this is he's talking about the blessings that are received by faith. See, justification is a blessing that we receive from God by faith. Peace with God is a benefit of the blessing that we receive by faith. Peace with God. God's not against us. We have a standing with God now. Verse 2 says, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. We have access to God through that faith. Gives us access now to come before him. We can come boldly before his throne now through the blood of Jesus. It says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That word rejoice in the Greek is a word that means boast. See, we have no boasting in ourselves, but we have rejoicing or boasting in what he's done. That's where our boast is. See, it's not in our own works. It's not in our own strength, but we get to stand and say, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Watch this in verse 3. Not only that. So not only the blessings that we've received, not only the fact that we, through faith, are justified, we have access and peace with God. Not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. We boast in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. I want to talk about that word suffering. Because this message is hope during difficult times. And in the Christian life, we're going to face suffering. We're going to face difficult times. We're going to walk through things that are very difficult. See, Paul was writing this to a mixed group of believers who understood suffering. Prior to Paul writing this book, the Jews had been kicked out of Rome. A few years back, Claudius kicked all the Jews out. Aquila and Priscilla were among those that were kicked out of Rome. Now we see back at the end of Romans that they're back at Rome. They're back in Rome now. They're back part of the church. So they got kicked out for a season and Claudius died and they were allowed back in. But imagine that. They got saved, born again, and then kicked out of their home. They had businesses. They had to leave their businesses. They didn't have U-Haul trucks back then. In most cases, they didn't get to take all their stuff with them. They got expelled and had to leave. So he's writing to a group of believers that know what it's like to suffer. Now, that word goes much beyond sometimes what we think of as sufferings. In the Greek, the word means to crush, press, compress, squeeze. It's used in tribulation, trouble, affliction. In a figurative manner, pressure from evils, affliction, and distress. And see, I don't believe it's teaching that God's the one that brings that, but we live in a world where there's an enemy, and a very real enemy brings pressure against the truth. The word used here in Matthew 13, 18 to 23, Jesus speaking, he says, "Consider then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom, but does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed sown on the rocky ground is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he remains only for a season. When trouble," that word suffering, "when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The seed sown among the thorns is the one who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the seed sown on good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, and he indeed bears fruit and produces a crop, 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. Notice that it doesn't say the one with the good soil doesn't go through any trouble. What this parable says is the seed sown on rocky ground is the one who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he remains only for a season. See, the trouble or persecution comes because of the word to the good soil and the rocky soil. The difference is the root. See, when our roots go down, what do we learn in the Real ID series? What are we rooted in? We are rooted in God's love. We're going to see that in this passage that we're studying today. We are rooted and grounded in the love of God as believers. And it's the roots that hold us through the storms of life, through the difficult times, through the suffering or trouble that comes as a result of the word. We see that same word used here in John 16. John 16, 21 and 22 says, "A woman has pain in childbirth because her time has come, but when she brings forth her child, she forgets her anguish." That word anguish is the word suffering or trouble. She forgets her anguish because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take away your joy." Now, I mentioned I don't believe it comes from God. That's because James 1:13 tells us, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. James 1:16-18 says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, with whom there's no change or shifting shadow. He chooses to give us birth through the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creation. And John 10:10 tells us, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to its fullness. Now back over there, it says, not only that in verse 3, but we also rejoice in sufferings. Now watch, we don't just rejoice in sufferings because we like suffering. Why do we rejoice in suffering? Because of what it produces. You know, when an olive is crushed, it produces olive oil. When a grape is crushed, it produces grape juice or wine. The crushing that comes on our life, watch this. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us, rooted and grounded in love. But see, what produces hope? The suffering, the trouble, the difficult times that we go through produces the perseverance. Perseverance develops character, and the character, hope. You notice at the beginning of this chapter, he's talking about what we receive by faith, right? It's faith that allows us to receive the blessings of God. Now in this next session, verses 3-5, we see the blessing being tested. But we see it's hope in that. What does hope do? Hope grabs a hold of the promises of God. It clings to it like the anchor. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. So it grabs on to the promises of God. It grabs on to the truth. It's through the suffering, through the troubles, through the things that we go through in life that allows us to anchor in to the truth of the word. What are we seeing here? We're seeing faith, hope, and love in action. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. In verse 2, we rejoice in that. So we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast in our sufferings because we know what it's going to produce. Verse 5 says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. See, when we go through trouble or persecution or distress, many times in the world, the question is, does God love me? If God really loved me, would he let me go through this? If God really loved me, would this be happening to me right now? But see, what Paul's showing us here is that how do we know that God loves us? It's not because of our present circumstances. It's because of what was already done. Watch this. Verse 6 says, for at the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ didn't die for us because we are godly. He didn't die for us because we deserved it. He died for us because he loves us. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God, what word does it say? But God proves his love for us in this. God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When you're going through a difficult time and the questions arise from the enemy coming and questioning the love of God in our life, does God really love you? Does God really care about you? Would God really let you go through this if he loved you? God doesn't care about you. If he cared about you, you wouldn't be walking through this. Those lies are pressure coming against the truth of the word. That's part of the suffering. Part of the tribulation is the lies of the enemy coming at it to get us, trying to shake us from the truth of that word. But see, That's where perseverance comes in. That's where you bury those roots down into the love of God deeper and deeper and deeper. And see, it doesn't matter what present circumstances I'm going through, because I look back to the cross to see the proof that God loves me. The proof. For at just the right time, verse 6, while we are still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man. Though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God proves his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9, therefore, we got another therefore there. Going back to all of that, because of the faith, hope, and love that we had there. Therefore, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from wrath through him? For if, when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only that, but we also rejoice, we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. See, what holds us through those difficult times is the fact that Jesus already did it. God already proved his love for us. He already took care of it when Christ died. It's a done deal. So we have faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. That's 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. See, it's the love of God that allows us to have faith and hope. It's because of what he already did. The love is what holds us through anything. Do not believe the lie of the devil, the whispers of the enemy that come and question God when you're walking through difficult times, when you're walking through things. There's going to be a lot of people over the coming years that are going to be losing jobs. They're going to be losing things. We're going to see persecution, I believe, come against the church in a waves that we haven't seen for a very long time, at least in America. I don't believe ever have seen before in America to the degree of what's going to come, I believe, in the future as things continue to shift and change. But through those difficult times, through those things, we press in. And we allow those roots to go down. You know, many of us have heard that diamonds are formed under pressure. They're actually formed under pressure and really high heat. It's both immense pressure and intense heat that come together to form a diamond. The work of our life being conformed into the image of Christ, there is a process of pressure and heat that we go through as we become more and more like him. But see, watch what Paul says later in Romans. In Romans chapter 8, let's just turn over there. Go ahead and turn over to Romans chapter 8. I want to first of all look at verse 28, and we're going to skip down a little bit. But verse 28 says, Romans 8:28, and we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, for those whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. See, it's speaking there as a done thing. And in Romans 5, it's talking about the hope of the glory of God. Here he's saying, he also glorified. Why is that? Because faith sees it all as already done. Our faith grabs on to it as it's already done. It's already a settled thing. We are already glorified by faith. We're already righteous by faith. Faith is the hand that clings on to everything. Every promise of God is received by faith, not because of what we've done, simply because we are willing to reach out and receive from God. Notice in verse 20, it doesn't say that God brings all things. It says that he works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. So while there's pressure and there's things in this life, we know what holds us. That is our roots going deep into the love of God. Now, just a few verses down, look at verse 35 to 39. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, that word trouble, shall trouble, shall suffering? No. Shall trouble or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. Why? Because God's already proved it to us. He doesn't have to prove anything else to us. He's already done it. It's already accomplished. He's proven to us when Jesus went to the cross that he loves us. As a result, our roots can go deep into the love of God that can hold us through any present circumstances, through anything that may come in the future, through anything that comes our way. We can hold firmly with a strong root system going down into the love of God. Verse 5, and hope does not disappoint us. This is chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. I want to challenge you if you're walking through a difficult time. It says here that his love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Instead of looking at the outward circumstances, it's poured into our heart. The love of God is in us. Do not look to the outward circumstances for what's already placed inside of us. The Spirit of God on the inside of us is proof that God loves us. And instead of looking at the difficult things and the things that we're walking through and the pressures of this world and the pressure from the evil one, instead of looking to those things to try to figure out what's going on, look inside what the Spirit has already done in your heart by pouring out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Look back to the cross. Don't look at your present situation. Look back to what's already done. And see, when you know what's already done, then it can give you the hope to look forward to, and hope, the anchor that grabs on to the future promises of what's to come. See, we talked about in our Real ID series, an unshakable kingdom. That no matter what shaking goes on here on earth, we know that our future is secure. Hope does not disappoint. Chapter 5 says, how much more? Romans chapter 5, multiple times he says, how much more in these things? How much more in these? How much more than anything that goes on around us because of what he already did? That's how we know that we're safe. That's how we know we're secure. So what is it? It is our blessings are received by faith. They're tested in this current world, but our blessings are grounded in the love of God. Our blessings are grounded in what's already done so that we can have confidence to walk through anything that comes our way by faith, connecting with hope, grounded in the love of God. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, Father, for anyone listening to this, Lord, that is walking through suffering, tribulation, difficulties. Father, I thank you for helping them look back to what's already been done and resting in the love that you have poured out in their hearts. Father, I just thank you that they silence every lie of the enemy, taking every thought captive and bringing it into obedience to the truth of the word. Lord, I thank you that your love is not on trial, that your love has already been proven for us when you chose to die for us while you were yet enemies. I thank you that your amazing love, Father, grounds us through everything that we walk through. I thank you that the anchor of our hope is into the secure love of God. I thank you that that hope does not disappoint. I thank you, Father, for comforting. Thank you, Father, for encouraging. I thank you, Lord, that that suffering produces perseverance. That perseverance produces character. That character produces hope. And that hope does not disappoint. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com.